Welcome to the Stand Firm Podcast. JD Koch is still in Abuja, Nigeria. JD, what do you have for us today?
Yeah, so we're here. We made it back a little bit late. Actually, it turns out to be going to be, it will turn out to be quite a consequential meeting. I don't know if it was entirely expected, but essentially what has happened is that since the Kigali commitment that you obviously and I were there for, there has been an attempt to keep momentum going, particularly with respect to kind of the GSFA, the Global South, and GAFCON together. And I don't want to overshare, but suffice it to say, there was a decision to simply move forward, and have us open a subscription to what they're calling now the future of the Anglican Communion, the Global Anglican Fellowship, or they're still workshopping the official titles but essentially they're resetting the argument will be that the Kigali commitment, which was simply a continuation of the Jerusalem Declaration, is now, this is the next step. And so even now, as I said, they are electing a new primus inter pares, the first among equals, who will be the acting, essentially take the place of in some ways what the Archbishop of Canterbury had represented for centuries, or at least the last century, with respect to the office's relationship to the other provinces. And the going forward,
there's obviously going to be a ton of overlap here, but this is a different position than the chairman of GAFCON, right? This is of the Global Anglican Communion, or whatever they're going to eventually call it.
So GAFCON, so this is, again, this is, I know some of it, but some of it is coming out, but it will all become clear, or at least as clear as it can be, beginning tomorrow with the announcement of the new chairman. I don't know what they're going to call him, but
I believe it said chairman in the press release.
Yes, so they are, and he's not primus inter pares. So they're trying to make a distinction. He will act as in the way of, like, but it's not a one-to-one correlation, because it's not with a C. It's not geographic. So what we heard all day today was a defense for what is about to happen, and it began with a kind of history of how we got here, which is sort of interesting. I was sitting next, because I'm part of the press pool, which is fun. So I'm sitting next to this BBC reporter, and I'm like, yeah, I'm basically like a BBC reporter, from BBC 9, the Ocho, BBC 8. But she was asking me all these questions, and I was like, well, as I say, I was like, you got to read, because Peter Akinola is here. I was like, well, that guy's book, or at least the book written with his input, if you're really interested, you can see this, because we were listening to Bishop Paul Donison spoke. Then we had Bishop Onesimus Ashmawi spoke. Bishop Alfred Olwa from Uganda spoke. Like, they were wonderful speakers. And they just sort of laid out a case. It was like going back to a like a focused evangelism weekend, beginning with the concept of sin and then God, and then it's like working and
organizing. this is what Anglicans do when we come together. We begin by telling the story of our churches and how we got here.
Well, and it was inspiring, actually. And I was reminded, I was sitting there and I was saying, obviously there's a little bit of defensiveness because I've been sitting in the press pool, which is fun, and hearing the talking points. And Justin Murph, who's the kind of the press director, is doing a great job, actually. Like, it's not, I mean, he's been on the job for 3 weeks. I didn't know him very well except by name and kind of, online, but I've become, I'm just impressed with him. But, they give him talking points and they say, listen, you can report that we're schismatic and that we're reactionary and we're these things. That's just not true. And they begin laying out these arguments. And what I didn't forget, but it was nice to be recentered, was that what their argument is, and this is from the GAFCON, from the, sort of the Nigerians and the Ugandans in particular, given the number of Anglicans they represent, they're still just thinking about Lambeth 98, basically. Yeah. It's closer for us because or it's in some ways it's complicated because we were part of the Gene Robinson, break and the Episcopal Church. But for them, they keep thinking we're just making good on Lambeth 98. That's all we're
Right.
doing. And it's also interesting to remember, or at least to be reminded of, that these are not Malawi and Kenya. Well, Kenya, that's they're sort of they're a little bit complicated, but at the very least Uganda and Nigeria, we can speak for them. They're not like the Episcopal Church and the ACNA. Like they are, and they will be the Anglican Church in Nigeria. And so
Right.
they think back and they say, 25 years is a long time in a certain sense, but like we've been here a lot longer than that, and we're still upset about what you did in 2003. And so essentially the argument, which I think at least is sound, that we all got together as a global communion in 98 and passed Lambeth 110, and the Episcopal Church, and then by extension now the Western churches, essentially ignored and then mocked that, beginning in 2003. And that hasn't changed, and it's got progressively more obvious that there's two distinct ways of ordering the communion. One around, there was a lot of talk today about sort of communion by relationship or communion by confession, and I think that's a very comforting way to talk about communion, because there were a number of quotes by people, particularly the preacher from Uganda. Like, he's great. He's involved with Uganda Christian University. He's known as the apparently known as the laughing bishop, and I had lunch with him, and that's true. Like, he's just full of joy and like everything, and not the kind of nervous, awkward laughter that we experienced at countless diocesan meetings in the Episcopal Church, but joyful laughter. But there's just one good one line after another about how, relationships that aren't based in the truth aren't true, aren't real relationships, that the center of Anglican theology has never been geographic but confessional. The Bible has to be the foundation from which we build our consensus, or else, it spins out of control. And it was a good reminder to me. I mean, I'm, you know, I was a little, I mean, honestly, like when I heard the, like we talked about yesterday, heard the sermon, kind of realized what at least was on the table. I mean, I wasn't nervous exactly, but I did, as we talked about yesterday, realize that there was something consequential that's going to happen. And today, for me personally, did the job. I mean, I realize that it might be slow going. There's still going to be the Global South GAFCON kind of, discussions. Obviously, the Church of England and the Episcopal Church, already with the the Cairo, Nairobi, resetting the AEC, there's already sort of some discussions about how to kind of blunt the impact of this. But as we talked about last night, to me, yesterday for y'all, it really doesn't matter. I mean, there's such a clear way forward that the Jerusalem Declaration is simply a distillation of the 39 articles, the ordinal, the 1662, and most importantly, the Bible. And if you can sign on to the Jerusalem Declaration, in good conscience, with all of its stipulations about the way the church hath erred, as the 39 articles would say, and what the Bible clearly says and where it stands with relation to our theological commitments, well, then you can be part of the
A
actual
global
Anglican communion.
Anglican, yeah.
That's going to be the argument. And of course, we'll brace ourselves to a certain degree for the pushback. But at the same time, this is just, I mean, I couldn't help but think the whole time today, like we talked about yesterday, about the Methodists or the Presbyterians, or I mean, hopefully someday the Catholics, when they wake up and go conciliar and then correct Trent and bring back in the conservative, the Bible-based Protestants. Anyway, but this is just the divide. It's the divide. And if the church is fundamentally a sociological organization with, long Schleiermacherian lines about the a shared sense of a need for the what is it a desperate need for the divine or something like this, you know, like an internal long game that is somehow met through the interplay of the sufficiently needy around you, oriented towards the eternal. I mean, whatever, you know, sure, like that's fine. But if the church is actually founded in Christ on his through his body, on his word, for the sake of proclamation, well, then when you lose that confidence in the foundation of the proclamation, then ultimately, in very well, both ultimately and in very short order, it's going to spin out and dissolve and become, you know, less important in people's lives than football or yoga or mountain climbing, you know, which is what we've seen. And so, you know, I'm heartened. I mean, it's again, tomorrow's going to be more fun. Like
Right.
they're anticipating, like, you know, standing room only in the press gallery. Now that might be a little bit of an overstatement, but like it'll be kind of cool. So I want to definitely talk tomorrow after they announce some of it, because after tomorrow with some of the announcements, then the rest of the conference, as far as I can tell, is going to be just sort of now what in light
Right.
of what we have done.
There's going to be a
But you
lot
know,
of now what questions, you know, like once something is announced, all the questions are going to be, how does this relate to the Global South? How does this relate to the
well,
See of Canterbury, et cetera?
I can say at least the good news is that and this is encouraging, is that the conversation was, let's begin with fundamental theological commitments before we get to the you know, the actual like legal sort of nitty-gritty, like there, I don't want to overspeak, but there's going to be a emphasis in the beginning of like, you know, if you can join this, then you may even not be able to, practically speaking, really participate in, for all sorts of reasons, in any sort of short-term process. Like, again, I don't know exactly how it would work, but as I was listening to some of the discussions, it could be the case that even individuals in, like, you know, wildly apostate dioceses around the world could theoretically at least participate in and feel a part of the global Anglican
Bishop
communion. And
Donison has been talking about that pretty specifically, that it's
that's
not
right.
just for provinces, that it's for potentially for dioceses, potentially for
That's
churches, and
right.
even, like you're saying, potentially for individuals.
Right. Like, so theoretically, like, again, I didn't ask this question, although, because I don't know, I just got my head down, but I was thinking back in, like, when we were in the Episcopal Church, like, if something like this came about, there's a scenario in which I think it could be very plausible that we could have petitioned to be a GAFCON church, even within and under an Episcopal bishop. Now, I didn't ask that particular scenario, but, like, you know, maybe we'd be, you know, we'd be under wraps or something, but
And
like we
there
could.
would be rubber meets the road questions with that too. Like, where is your diocesan assessment going to go?
That's right. That's right. And again, and I think also, I think this is where, at least, I mean, I'm heartened in this way that, you know, I think that, I don't think it was naive. I think that when people really dug into some of the complications of all of the Commonwealth, all of the various legal structures, that they basically pulled back at some point and said, why don't we make this at least, like, let's keep the momentum, let's keep the energy and the mission, for frankly, you know, I mean, like, the longer we go complicated and not clear about the very simple message, which is that we are simply continuing the commitments that the Anglican Church was founded in and built upon for centuries. And when it was overtly flaunted and now undermined, like a Philippic death work, you know, like, you know, then something had to happen. And so you heard this time and time again, like, we are the Anglican Communion, the future is here. You know, what someone said, like, what yesterday's tomorrow is today's present. I was kind of confused by it, but, like, it was there's a lot of preachers giving talks, so, like, you kind of got fired up. There were no smoke machines, but, like, that would have helped. But so anyway, I mean, so stay tuned. But it was there's some serious people here. And, you know, the Church of Nigeria is impressive. I mean, it's 20 something million Christians, and, you know, they are an active and powerful force for good in the transformation of this of this city of Abuja, but then by extension the country. And you know, they're not I mean, they have been hardened by the challenges of persecution and are inspiring. And the Ugandans and you know, there's the Malaysians were here, and the well, there's a whole list of them. But it's interesting. Like that's one of the open questions is like who actually will finally you know, make themselves known here. But you know, we have a big contingent from the ACNA, a lot of bishops, a lot of you know, Archbishop Duncan, former Archbishop Duncan, former Archbishop Foley's here. Julian, obviously acting Archbishop, whatever he's being, acting Archbishop is here. And you know, I think we had the second largest delegation to Nigeria. So that's actually and I was heartened to hear how encouraging that is. You know, it's not unlike when we have people coming from a long distance to our conferences in the US. It was apparently, you know, every extra American here at least was a confirmation that it's not they're not alone, and that we're here supporting them and a part of this. And so stay tuned. I mean, I'm sure I've been working with the AAC, the American Anglican Council guy. I've been feeding him talking points and ideas for essays, just because he's great. But because I was like, well, you're go ahead and write him up, because
Yeah.
I'm just here hanging out. But
You're just a pretty face.
that's right, that's just I'm humble parish priest, right,
All
just sitting around. But anyway, so
right.
yeah, I think tomorrow let's talk. You know, I'll send you before we talk some of the consequential things. But it's gonna I think it's gonna be a new day. It's gonna
Okay.
be, you know, new day tomorrow. So
Well, we will have you back on tomorrow. All of our listeners, our single listener, can look forward to that.
that's right.
Until then, we'll be standing firm.